Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. The word is taught with accuracy. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Praise God. Say, God's word is food to me. Say, I'm satisfied listening to God's word. That is food to me. Say, that is food to me. Say, that is drink to me. Say, I eat God's word and I'll keep eating God's word because that is life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, and that from a child, writing to Timothy, from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child there will imply from when he set out to be a saint, right? Not from when his mother gave birth to him. Yeah, your mother cannot give birth to you and you just know salvation. Are we together? So from when you set out to be a saint, thou hast known the purpose of the Holy Scriptures. The word here, holy, doesn't mean that which is without sin. It's not saying the Bible is not, it's not saying there's no sin in the Bible or there's no sin in Scriptures. Are there sins in Scriptures? Are there sins written in Scriptures? Let me say it better. The people sin inside the Bible. That's what you understand now. And that's what you understand. The word there, Scripture, just speaks about writings. So when it says Holy Scriptures, the book of Timothy wasn't taken into cognizance because Paul is literally just writing a letter to Timothy. So what will be Scriptures will be Genesis to Malachi. So he's saying, thou art known that the Holy Scriptures, that is the writings you see in Genesis to Malachi, they are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it means that when you read Scriptures, you must see God's saving plan. We've established over and over that God doesn't have two sides. Are we together? God doesn't have two sides. God is always good and always good, perpetually good. If you throw the coin of God to any direction, what you see is his goodness. You know, it interests you as saints while growing up, we want to share a testimony. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the what? And all the time. So that makes the testifier, the congregation, testify that all the time the Lord is good. Because when I say the Lord is good, you say all the time. Me too, I say all the time, you say the Lord is good. But yet you hear the things we say. You say, hallelujah, glory to God. But God is good. How do we know? We see him revealed in the person of Christ. Jesus is the university by which we study God. Are we together? So if you have questions about God, who do you look for? Look at Christ. Did he kill one person? No. So if Jesus didn't do it, he has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what we mean by God is good all the time. Are we together? So in Genesis to Malachi, you will see things like, God said his spirit will not rot with man again, and he sent the flood. Is the flood good? You know, we stay in Abuja, we don't stay in Lagos. Is the flood good? Is flood good? Let me ask you a question. If flood takes over your house and they tell you that's the goodness of God, what will you say? Outrightly. Are we together? Are we together? So it means we need to go back to Scriptures to reinvestigate how they wrote. How they wrote. Are we together? So, as disciples, look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. So, what it says there? It says, and he came and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's the only portion of the scriptures that speaks about name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, that's the only portion of scriptures, and really, it speaks about the name of the Son. Yeah, so he says, teaching them to observe. Now, the word they teach all nations in verse 19 means to make people learners, make people students. So that is why when we come to church, what do? We come like students going to the classroom. We come with our Bibles, we come with our writing materials, we come with our papers, our books, our Bibles, to listen and jot down. Why? Because the approach of a student of the word must be the approach of a student of the university. Hallelujah. You see, Kenneth Hagin said something, but Kenneth Hagin, he said, if the church can do what they are meant to do, there will be no need for Bible schools. Are we here? If the church can decide not to impress the people, are we together? What you call Bible school today was what the apostles were doing every day as church meeting. Are we together? If the church can do what they are meant to do, there is no need for a Bible school. Because look at it. We're in church. Our material is supposed to be the Bible. Yet we have to go and enroll in another school where they will teach you the Bible. Did you get that? We're in church. What connects us together is the written word. Yet you have to take your money and go and pay for them to teach you Bible school. And they say Bible school, they say crash course. Yeah? So even if you have a Bible school, it is because of the lack of the church doing what they are called to do. Jesus says, make people disciples. You are a student of God's word. Are we together? So you must be able to explain the faith you believe in from scriptures. Are we together? So that's why you see some people today. But this thing happened in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. You say, leave it. That's under the law. Don't go to the law. We're under grace. Read Ephesians and Colossians alone. No, a good Bible student must read Genesis to Malachi. Because everything that these apostles wrote, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Galatians, Romans, Thessalonians, to Timothy, to Titus, they all had the scriptures as their reference book. All of them. So it means that when Jesus was teaching, what they had in front of them was Genesis to Malachi. Are we here? It means that when Paul will be teaching, he's teaching from Genesis to Malachi. So we are doing a series like this to look at Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. Go to Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spice which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Look at verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Who are these they? Okay, keep reading. Look at verse 3. And they entered in and found not the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Look at verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? See, Jesus is alive. You see, Christianity is the only faith that our Savior died and rose again. And he's still alive today. Are we together? Go and check where they buried him. He's no longer there. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? To now make it now interesting, the proof of his resurrection is not the empty tomb, but him living in us. The proof of his resurrection is not the empty tomb. So you don't have to go to Israel to see it as empty. He lives in you. That is the proof of his resurrection. See, the proof that he is the Savior is not that he died. Every man will die. Are we together? But he died, and he said he will rise on the third day, and he rose up. The tomb is empty, fine. But it lives in you. Hallelujah. So he says, why seek you the living among the dead? Verse 6. He says, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when you were yet in Galilee. Verse 7. He now says, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men. So who killed Jesus? Men, not God. In Christ alone, my hope is found. My son. That part that says, the wrath of God was satisfied. Is that a song? Okay. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. So, yeah, the original word there says the wrath of God. Yeah. And we've taught in scriptures that the wrath of God is a figure of speech. Yeah. When you say God has wrath, yeah, it means that what man did took him unawares. Let me ask you a question. If I slap you, who should I slap now? if I slap all of you, yeah, the only reason why you'll be angry with me is because what I did shocked you. Are we together? My brother, if I walk up to you now and you slap me, the only reason why I'll be angry with you is because what you did shocked me. But if I am God that knows the end from the beginning, it means that I know what you will do. So can your slapping me or my slapping you shock me? So when you say God has wrath, God has anger, you are indirectly saying he doesn't know the end from the beginning. So we grew up learning that God poured all his anger on Jesus. No, God is Jesus who put on flesh to die for sins of men. Yeah, God did not sit in one terrestrial atmosphere and sent Jesus. No, God is Jesus wrapped in human frailty or human flesh, and he died for the sins of men. So go back to Luke 24, verse 5. Yeah, who sinful men, Acts 4 shows you. Yeah, the same Lord and Savior whom ye crucified, who God rose. Verse 5. Then he said unto them, verse 5, 24, 5. And as they were afraid, they bowed their face to the earth, and they said unto them, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Verse 6. He is not here, but he is risen. Look at verse 7. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. So God is the Jesus who came as a man to live amongst men for men to kill. Do you know why men killed Jesus? You see, oh, gracious Father. Do you know what God did? God, because he knows that the conscience of man needs to be realigned. Yeah, he came to become a man so that man can relate with that knowledge. Are we together? He came as a man, so the mankind he created, he lived amongst men. So it was men that killed Jesus, not God killed Jesus. What was God's work in the crucifixion and resurrection? He rose him up. Acts 4, 9 to 11. You know, Peter says, whom ye have crucified by wicked hands, God rose up. So, sinful men, yeah, and was crucified, and he rose on the third day. Look at verse 8. And they remembered his words. So it means that the death and resurrection of Jesus was not from the blues. He taught it. He told them, and he taught it from where? Scriptures. We'll see that shortly. Look at verse 9. Please follow today's teaching very importantly. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Look at verse 10. It was who? Mary who? And Jonah and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the... So the first people to preach the gospel are who? Women. Are we together? The first group of people you see, yeah, to preach the gospel are who? Women. Women, look at verse 11. And their words seemed to be idle, and they believed them not. So the men, you know, if you look at Matthew's gospel 28, verse 11, look at Matthew's gospel 28, 11, quickly. Look at verse 6. Right? And he is not here, for his reason. This is the same encounter already in Luke. Is it Luke? Was it Luke who read? Yeah. So he is not here for his reason. And he says, come and see where the place, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now look at verse 7. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before unto you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Look at verse 8. And they departed quickly from Sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Now verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Were those women? Were those women? So Jesus told a woman to go and tell his brethren. Are we together? So the teaching of, you know, women are second class, yeah, which is why we're doing this particular series. Yeah, can a woman be your pastor? Are we together? Go back to Luke 24. Let's go back to Luke 24, 24 quickly and go to Genesis. Luke 24, 24. And certain of them went with us and found the sepulchre and found it even so as the what? So the woman said, they went to confirm. Are we here? Are we here? But they saw him not. Look at verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, let's see what he did. And beginning as where? Moses and all the... So it means that when Jesus was teaching, what would they open in front of them? Genesis to Malachi. What constitutes Genesis to Malachi? The writings of Moses, the psalmist, and the prophet. So it means that everything Jesus taught, they were all from Genesis to Malachi. Let me say something better. It means that Jesus did not teach from Ephesians. Are we together? Are we here? It means that Paul did not teach from Ephesians. It means that Peter did not teach from Ephesians. They were teaching from the writings of Moses and the writings of the prophet. Look at John chapter 5, verse 45. John 5, 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth, Moses, in whom ye trust. Who is talking here? Who is talking here? Jesus. Please follow today's teaching. Are we here? Look at verse 46. This is Jesus talking, right? He says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Who's talking? So Jesus says that Moses wrote of me. Look at verse 47. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So the messages of Jesus from his lips were from the writings of Moses and the prophets. So a good student of the word must go back to Moses to see what Moses really said. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27. Genesis 1, 27. Let's read this together. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody together. Genesis 1, 27. Let me allow you to finish reading, writing. Genesis 1, verse 27. 1, 2, 3, go. So if you look at this carefully, we see in the image of God created he, him. Male and female created he, them. So there's a him. Is that true? Is there shim? There's a him, there's a male, there's a female. Who is the him? 2 Corinthians 4, quickly. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, verse 4, I'm already in verse 4, okay? In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the what? Glorious gospel. Now, where is Paul teaching from? Let me ask you a question. When Paul wrote Corinthians, when they read Corinthians, where were they going to read to see what he was teaching from? Genesis to Malachi. So when he says the light, look at verse 6. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Genesis chapter 1. God said, let it be light. Is that together?
So God said, let there be light, Genesis chapter 1. That's where Paul is teaching from. So for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the what? Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Look at this. Go back to verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. What's the next line that says there? Who is the image of God? So who is the image of God? Who is the image of God? So Christ is the image of God. So where was Paul teaching image of God from? Genesis 1:27. Are we together? Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Yeah? Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. So who is the image of the invisible God? Christ, right? Is that true? So we've seen image as Christ in 2 Corinthians. Have we seen image as Christ in Colossians? Look at Hebrews 1:3. God, who has so many times and in diverse manner spoken to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, who is the brightness of God's glory? The Son, right? Yeah? The express image of his person. Who is the express image of God? Christ. So Christ is the image of God. Are we here? Are we going to? We're here, right? So Paul teaches in Corinthians, in Colossians, that Christ is the image of God. So go back to Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, created he him. Who is the he him? Who is the he him? Christ. Paul tells you in Colossians. Hebrews tells you in Hebrews 1. Paul tells you in 2 Corinthians. So God's plan from time. Now, who is writing Genesis 1:27? Moses. What did Jesus say about Moses? If you believe Moses' writings, you will believe my words, because he wrote about me. So it means that you must carefully look at how Moses wrote about Jesus. Are we here? So he says, God created man in his own image, in the image. Now, the word here, image, is the Hebrew word tselem. Tselem. T-S-E-L-E-M. T-S-E-L-E-M. Now, the word there, image, is a word that speaks about a physical representation of the unseen. Are we together? Yeah? And this was a vocabulary that Moses used for the Israelites that were in Egypt. Bondage, so to say. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So it means that God's plan from time has been that male and female should be equal in Christ. Are we together? So it means that God ahead of time knew what Adam would do, and yet he made plans available. Praise God. So Galatians will now tell you that there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. What does that mean? God doesn't recognize people based on their gender in Christ. Hallelujah. The first people to preach his risen were ladies. Imagine. An apostle to the apostles. Jesus told the lady, go and tell my apostles. Is it the apostles? Leave them. Let them do unbelief. Peter still here. He didn't believe. Okay, Peter. Are we together? Are we together? So the word tselem is the word image of God. So he says he is the image of the invisible God. Now, the word here, image, is a word that is used as a corporate status. That's very important to note. It's like an agency, a corporate status, an agency. So it is that male and female are corporately be found in him. Do you get that? Yeah? Word that speaks of a physical representation of the unseen. Yeah, the word also speaks or is used as a corporate status or like an agency. Yeah, what I mean corporate, it means that male and female are to be found in him. So, like I said last week, if the saints can understand what the gospel is really about, there's really no need to be fighting for the woman. Are we here? Because everybody will know that everybody matters. Jesus has come to put a bias. Yeah? Such that he puts an equality sign by his work. So, in Christ, there is no gender. Hallelujah. In Christ, there is no skin color. In Christ, black lives matter. White lives matter. Orange lives matter. Orange lives matter. And pink lives matter. That's why I say the gospel is the solution to mankind's problem. If man can understand, you will not have any sense of racism. Why? Because you know that everybody on earth who is a believer was born from the same womb, the womb of the Spirit. Are we together? So this inequality we see up and down, it's a cultural bias that has been infiltrated or that's entered. Stay there. It has entered. Just leave it there, okay? Why? Turn my tongue upside down. So, this cultural bias has entered into the writings of scriptures and also the writings or our understanding of scriptures. So, why is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? God is not a feminist. He's supposed to be God of Sarah. Or if God was to show enough feminine, he should say God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Isaac and Rebecca, God of Jacob and is it Leah? Rachel. If God wants to show he's balanced. But the Bible was written in human language by men. What did Jesus do? He rose, appeared to women first. Why? That's a message in itself. He appeared to women first. I said, go and tell my brethren that I'm alive. Are we together? Look at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Look at verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, you see, what the only thing we take from 1 Corinthians 11 is that women should tie their hair. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of us take. Paul says, ladies should tie their hair. How can you come to church and your hair is open? Don't know angels are passing over your head. But they fail to see that he said, woman, prophesy. So a woman can prophesy. So it means that when Paul says women should keep silence in church, you should go and look at who he's talking to. Are we together? Yeah? If a woman can prophesy, in prophecy, I didn't know instructions. Listen to this. Some of you that prophesied, did you need to give instructions? Eh? When you're in believers' meeting, were you not giving instructions? So it means that when you prophesy, instructions are part of prophecy. So Paul acknowledges or makes it clear that women can prophesy. That means a woman can give instruction. Is Paul talking about women church? Is Paul talking about women ministry? See what he says in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 11, 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom neither in the churches of God. So Paul talking about hair covering was speaking particularly to the particular church of Corinth, not all churches. Paul did not write to you, but he wrote to them and we'll learn from what they wrote. Are we together? So Paul in the same letter says, see, this rule, just to tell you, Paul was giving those instructions because of what was happening in that particular church. You know, the Corinthians were very interesting people. Hallelujah. So, Paul says, women can prophesy. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 1. Romans 16, 1. Let's everybody read Romans 16, 1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let me ask you a question. Who delivered the letter of Romans to Rome? Who wrote Romans? Who delivered the letter? Yeah? Paul says it clearly. He says, I commend unto you, Phoebe. So, it's like, Brother Jonathan, please come. So, it's like, I'm writing a letter, and I pass it to him to give it to all of you. So, I'm now saying to you in the letter I wrote to you that I commend Brother Jonathan unto you. That means Paul used Phoebe to deliver the letter to Rome. Consider, please. Are we together? Why did Paul say, no, I must look for a man? I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. What does it mean to be a servant there? That means Phoebe was the pastor of the church. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So was Phoebe a pastor? Was she a minister? Can a woman be a minister? That is what Christ came to put a balance to. That there is no, what do you call it? Inequality. In case you are not sure, look at verse 2. Wait, go back to verse 1. For Paul to commend the sister, it means that she was dedicated. Are we together? Are we together? So when Paul says, I commend to you our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Look at verse 2 now. He now says, that ye receive her, please, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. So, as it is a custom of saints to receive other saints, receive her. Are we together? And that ye assist her in whatever business she had need of you. For she had been a succorer of many, and myself also. I mean, she brought the light. Are we here? Look at verse 4, verse 3. Greet who? Let's leave all this, in Greek manuscript was written from right to left. So, in the recent, you have to read Aquila before Priscilla. No, Paul tells you Priscilla and Aquila. You see, that is why, you see, very, 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 very interesting. A man will become pastor, you say Pastor Joshua. When is a woman, you say Pastor Mrs. Steph. Why did you put Mr. in my name? Do you understand? When is a woman, you say, we invite Pastor Mrs. Pastor Mrs. Yemisi Yusuf. But when you say it's Pastor Joshua, we invite Pastor Joshua Yusuf. Why don't you say Pastor Mr. Joshua Yusuf? It's just your renewed mind. You want to just highlight it. See, women are not doing well in this thing called pastoring. No. So when we have few of them like this, you must say the Mrs. Reverend into bracket Mrs. Somebody is preaching live on TV. We all see it's a woman. You now put her name under Reverend Mrs. Charity. It's a product of your renewed mind. Are we together? So, it means that Priscilla and Aquila, there's a high possibility that Priscilla was more active than Aquila in ministry. Are we together? Yeah? So, you see, it didn't say Aquila and Priscilla. So, the man's name was not come before the woman. It's not a law anywhere. It's just cultural bias of an unrenewed mind. Have pastor's wife, you don't have pastor's husband. Some of you are really laughing because you think it's shameful. How am I going to be pastor and you say pastor's husband? Let me give pastor's husband. Some of you are really laughing so hard. Ah, pastor's wife came to church today. Pastor's husband came. Pastor's husband is outside. You said that I call you pastor's husband. You don't know that you're supposed to give yourself more to dedication of the things of God. So he says, so imagine they want to relate to Aquila. We invite Pastor Priscilla, everybody clap. We invite Pastor's husband, Pastor Mr. Aquila. So Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4. who have for my life laid down their own necks, including Priscilla, together, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Look at the next verse. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. He says, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. So it means that Paul's first disciple, that's what first fruit. Are we together? His first disciple, right? Of Asia was the man Epaphroditus. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much. So you will see across scriptures that ladies are giving to ministry. That's why in God's palace, don't be a lady only known for fashion sense. Let me say generally, as Christians, don't be a lady. Let people know you for fashion sense and fervency in doctrine. Fervency in the things of God. Are we together? Are we together? Let me tell you, you can be hot and hot. Sila. You know, some that to the pastor, why is it that all these word men, they will be going out of church to look for women? I say, ha 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 ha. And all the word men, they are finishing. You see, people that are in the club, they are looking for. You know why? I remember, you know, God doesn't choose wives for people. God doesn't choose husbands for people. Let's leave all this plenty grammar we are speaking. Yeah? If God chooses wives for people, it means that you have to be spirit-led to know who God wants for you. Right? So it means that if one believer on earth can miss his spirit leading, every other person on earth will miss it. Do you understand? Just need one person. If you can vouch for yourself, you are spirit-led. You need one person to just miss it on the earth. Once that is it, the lady who is supposed to be for her must marry somebody, and he must marry somebody else that's supposed to be for somebody else. He says, kata kata. Everything jaga jaga. Let man disappear. Let man disappear. Are we together? Just one person should miss it. Everybody will miss it. There's a cultural bias that puts a disparity between male and female gender. Are we together? It's not taught in scriptures. Let me say it this way. It's not biblical. You see, you're the owner of a company. You see a man and a woman, and the woman can do better than a man, but because you don't want the woman to be the manager, you pick a man. You have an unrenewed mind. Raise to power 20. Are we together? Yeah? If you're a man, yeah, you cannot listen to a woman be your pastor. You have an unrenewed mind. If a woman cannot lead you in ministry, you have an unrenewed mind. All across scriptures, Luke 8, you see women. Luke 24, you see women. Matthew 28, you see women. So, women can prophesy. Women can give utterances. Women can teach. Women can pray. Hallelujah. So, you too, as a woman, give yourself to these things. Praise God. Look at Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and what? Void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now we've explained the image of God to be Christ. All together. So male and female are to be found where? In Christ. Now look at this. The earth was without form and void. So Moses uses the creation story to write about God's plan. Are we together? You see, never in this series here that God did not create the universe. Yeah, but the Bible is not a book to teach you about history of creation. It's a book to teach you about the plan of salvation through Christ. Are we together? Because if Genesis to explain the nitty-gritty of how creation happened, you might end up in a pit. Who did Cain marry? Are we together? Adam, Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Normal logical sense, you made only one man on earth, which is Cain. But Bible says that there will be men that will not be able to kill Cain. Who did Cain now marry? Who were the other men that there was a mark on Cain so that they will not kill him? Once you start going into endless genealogies. You know where you will hit? That wall. And when the wall bounces you back, you come back and you hit that wall. Stay within the confines of scriptures. How did the apostles teach scriptures? So when he says the earth was without form and void, we've taught in scriptures that that earth there, it speaks about the hearts of men, right? And it says darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now let me ask you, was the Spirit of God that moved over only the male gender? Or over mankind? Mankind. Let me ask you another question. Was it only man or male that was found in darkness? Is it only men that are unbelievers today? So what is the solution to darkness? Bible says in verse 3, it says, God said, let there be what? Light. So the Spirit of God was upon the earth, no gender, all flesh. What did Paul say the light is? The light of the knowledge of the Lord in the face of Christ. The light of the glorious gospel. Praise God. Look at Joel 2:28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon male. Male? Hello? Hello? I'll pour out my spirit upon male. Male gender? Respond now. Male gender? All flesh. So what is Joel as prophecy explaining as all flesh? See what he's saying. He's saying, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream this. He's not saying when you are both 70, you're not an old man. You'll not prophesy, you'll only be dreaming dream. What is he just saying? He's trying to capture all the nitty-gritty of all flesh. Are we together? So sons and daughters will prophesy. He's trying to say when you are small, when you are a son, when you are a daughter, you prophesy. See what he now says? He now says, remember, the Spirit is to be poured out upon all flesh. So he now says, your old men shall dream dreams. What of old women? They will fly. Yeah? Your young men shall see visions. Next verse. So, and also upon the servant. So what is he saying? Even servants. So the gospel is for both gate men, gate women, servants, masters, men, women. Everybody say all flesh. Say all flesh. He says, on your servant and upon your handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Simple question. When the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, is that upon all flesh? Are we together? So the solution for darkness amidst all flesh is the light of the glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God's message is on the lips of both the male gender and the female gender. Why? Because the image of God speaks about a corporate status, an agency, a combination of both genders. So when you see a man, or when you see that men are always there, and the truth is this, yeah, because the bias is already in the minds of men, men automatically take up responsibilities to take up positions. All together. You know, some women don't know how to lead. And not because it's a satanic attack, but it's because there's a cultural bias in their heads. Are we together? See, the gospel is God's answer to mankind's issue. The gospel is God's answer to darkness. So Moses started using the creation story to write about what? The creation or the new creation, or to explain God's plan of salvation and redemption. So the work of the light of God will quench darkness. Are we together? Now let's go to Genesis 1:11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Hello? Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, a fruit tree yielding fruit after what? After his kind. Did he say its kind? His kind. Can we say this his has something to do with him. In verse 27. Keep reading, okay? So he says, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Please go forward to verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 12, verse 24. John 12, 24. Let's read John 12, verse 24 together. John 12, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So a seed is to bring much more fruits when it dies. Who is that seed that will die and bring much more fruits? Are we together? So Moses uses a parable to teach about the new creation using seed also. So except a corn of wheat falls onto the ground, yeah, it abideth alone. Now let me ask you a question. If you want to begin a maize foundation, what do you need to start? Seed. Are we together? So can you see the seed needs to be at the beginning? So in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Has to speak about the origination of what? A new creation or a plantation. Let me make it easier. My brother, you want to start selling corn. What do you need to start? The seed. So if I say in the beginning, Brother Sam started a maize foundation, what did he have to start the foundation? The seed. Are we together? So what will fall to the earth be? So he says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. What will be to fall to the ground and die? Christ will die. Are we here? Christ will die. And upon the resurrection, it bringeth forth much fruits. Who are the fruits that are a product of the seed of dying? The saints, the new creation, God's Jerusalem. So you see that seed means you are beginning something new. When you have a seed, it means you are beginning something new. Look at Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 10. Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 10. And disciples came unto him and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in what? Parables. Look at verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and him who shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they what? Understand. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. What's the word they perceive? Understand. Are we together? Yeah. So it's not saying to be smelling. Yeah? So look at verse 15. For the people's heart is wax gross. So why did Jesus teach with parables? Because of the heart of the people. Are we together? So, for the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their what? Heart, and should be converted, and I should what? Heal them. So, let me ask you a question. When Jesus was teaching, where was he teaching from? Moses. Did Moses use parables to write about God's plan? I was together. So when Moses said, seed bring me forth after his kind, is that a parable? It's a parable. What's a parable? Someone should explain the parable for me. Quick definition. Quick. Yeah? A parable? What is a parable? So it can say a parable is a story that points to another story. Or a parable is a story that has a message. You get that? You get that? So if they are giving a parable, where should your attention go to? The meaning of the parable or the parable? Beautiful. So if Jesus comes and says, the sower sowed the seed. Are we together? Look at Luke. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So when Jesus says, a sower sowed a seed, where's your attention go to? Where's the man? Where's the seed? Are we together? Yeah. So now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So it means that this is the explanation of the parable. So let me say it this way. So when you hear Jesus say a sower soweth a seed, your attention should first go to the fact that the seed is the word of God. So the word of God now qualifies who carries the word. So by the time you understand who the word of God is, you can understand who is the sower. And you can understand how the sower will sow. Are we here? So when he says the sower sowed the word and the seed is the word of God, John now tells you, in the beginning was the word. Can we say seed? Can we say seed? So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The seed. Dear saints, when a sower wants to start a maize plantation, what does he need to start? The seed. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the seed was God. Both the sower and the seed. Both the sower and the seed. The same person. Go to John 1:1. Yeah. In the beginning was the word, and the word and the seed was with God, and the seed was God. So God is the seed that planted himself to die, so that upon resurrection there will be multiple harvests. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the seed was God. So God is the seed that is to be planted on that farmland, which will bring what? Harvest. In that resurrection, it will bring forth fruit after his kind. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Remember, in the beginning, remember I used Brassam as an example. If Brassam wants to stand a plantation, what do I say? In the beginning, Brassam had a seed. So it's like saying Brassam is the seed. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. So God's plan for a new creation has been what Moses has been teaching from Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 3. And the things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 4. In him was life. Hold on, dear saints. Can we say in the seed was life? Are we here? So in the seed was life, and the life was the light to men, or light of men. Look at verse 14. And the word became flesh. What is that? The seed became flesh. And except that seed falls to the ground and dies, he abideth alone. So Christ is the seed that falls to the ground, which is the heart of men, and when a man believes, he becomes a part of the harvest. Are we here? So the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the first begotten of the Father, yeah, full of grace. As at this time, you will say the only begotten. But right now, he is the first begotten from the dead. Are we together? Why? Because in the like manner by which he rose from the dead, we will rise again. Hallelujah. 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 So that is the seed as an example. Praise God. So why did Jesus use parables? Because of the hardness of their heart. Why did Moses use parables? So look at it. Some of you will be saying, why did Moses just come and just say, Jesus will die and forget? Genesis chapter 1 to 50. Finished. Or just say, Genesis chapter 1, Jesus. Chapter 2, will. Chapter 3, die. Chapter 4, resurrect. Then now get chapter 50, now said, and we will be saved. But Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. Are we together? Why did Moses write that way? Look at Exodus chapter 12, 32 verse 9. Quickly. Exodus 32 verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, they are what? Stiff-necked. What does it mean to be stiff-necked? When your neck is not moving. What does stiff-necked mean? You are stubborn. Are we together? You are a stubborn entity. Are we together? So, why did Moses communicate the way he did? Because of the stubbornness or hardness of the heart. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are very what? They are very what? Forward generation. Children in whom have no faith. What does it mean they were forward? Quick. Moses went to pray quickly. They installed their God. I said, we will never worship Mommy God. Mommy God. But they have so many images that Moses, before he communicated, had to ask God, God, if I go and meet these people, who will I say sent me? Are we together? He says, children of no faith. So look at Psalm 78. Look at Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 78, verse 2. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. That word there, old, deals with reshit, beginning. So the same parables Moses has been teaching. So let me ask you a question. Why did Moses teach in parables? Because of the hardness of their hearts. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, why do you not think Isaiah now says, seeing they might not perceive, hearing they might not understand? Why? Because of their heart. So when your heart is turned to God, are we together? We now see the glory of the Father. Are we together? Yeah, that's what Paul was teaching in 2 Corinthians. He says, from glory to glory. He's not saying you are director tomorrow, you're executive director next tomorrow. God is moving from glory to glory. That's what Paul was teaching. The glory to glory is the glory of Moses now to the glory now revealed in the face of Jesus. So it means that for you to understand the parable, you must have a heart of belief. Are we together? So it means that the slightest unbelief in your heart can make you not see what the parable means. Did you get that? Let me say it again. The slightest unbelief in your heart can make you not see what the parable means. If Jesus says a seed, what will you do? The first thing you do is, where is seed though? That's why you, when you hear someone teach something, for our sake, he became rich. Abi, is he became rich? He became poor. That might be rich. Oh, glory to God. It's unbelief that will make you see money. You are a believer. Are we together? You are a believer, but you are a believer who is not seeing past the parable. Even without even saying you are an intelligent, person trying to analyze things, or without saying you are a believer or someone who's given to sound doctrine, simple question you can ask: where on earth was Jesus made? Was he rich that he became poor? Who has the Bible verse to show me where Jesus became poor? Oh, you think when Jesus wanted to die, he started doing giveaway? Andrew just come and meet Master, because he wants to collect an LED screen. We want to watch him. He starts saying, Master, you are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. Master, in heaven you will not watch this TV. Can I take it? Then Peter will now come. Master. He starts singing for him. Master of the universe. She's already saying, hey, she's reviewing all those songs. She said, hey, as in. Eh? Just without saying, all this your word, stop it. I know I'm ashamed of this. Don't worry. What do you want? Name it. Peter now say, sir, you see that your waterbed? It's unbelief that will make you see all those kind of things. So where was he rich that he became poor? Jesus was never rich on earth. Never. If he was rich, when he wanted to feed those 5,000 people, he was supposed to just send people to market to buy it. You know why you're looking for miracles? Because money is not your problem. I can believe in miracles. But I believe if, let me ask you a question. Dangote wants to buy a car. Will you say I believe in miracles? That's how we say. There's some things we pray for as Christians. That Dangote will see it. He will think you're talking about him. Miracle worker. Lightning, that, you know, that can attach to Dangote. You don't know. You are here moving in this place. It can be Dangote. I worship you. We make. Can Dangote make way? Can't he answer your miracle? How many of you, how many of you hear that miracle will pass what Dangote can answer? You give the empty pan and just draw a signature on it and put OD. Even you are saying who? So it means that when Sister Esther next time is singing miracle, we need to ask her, who are you talking about particularly? How are you together? Yeah? So when you see riches as material, you are in a phase where you need to renew your mind. So he was rich, he became poor. Means that God, in his fullness of eternity, decided to wrap himself in human embrace, enter the womb of a woman, and be killed by men. So the eternal God was killed by temporary men. Are we here? The eternal God was killed by temporary men. What is the riches? Eternity. What is the poverty? Flesh. So he became poor so that he might be rich. Why? So now that we have received of his life, we have his riches. But God, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. So we see that, you see, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will ask sayings from, oh, look at verse 3 quickly. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have what? Told us. So Moses spoke in parables, the prophet spoke in parables, Jesus still spoke in parables. Are we together? But we see clarity in the epistles. Do you remember? Do you know that? We see clarity in the epistles. So, be light, parable. Moses said that, oh, let the seed yield forth fruit after his kind, parable. Moses said that God created man in his own image, male and female created he them, parable. What does Paul now do? Paul now comes and unparable the parable. Are we together? He now brings clarity. Oh, you see that parable, let there be light. God who commanded light to shine. The light of the glorious gospel. You see that image Moses was teaching in parables about Christ and male and female found in him. You see seed. Are we together? So go to Mark 4:13 quickly. So let me ask you a question. Did God create the universe? Did God create the universe? Oh, don't leave this season and say, Pastor, you know, Pastor, you've taught for 17 teachers now. You are doing well. Pastor, I want to ask you a question. Who now created the world? I'm telling you, I won't answer you. I'm telling you, I won't give you an answer. And he said unto them, know ye not this? Where is this parable from? Genesis. Okay, hold on. We have not read it. Know ye not this parable? And how will you even know all parables? Look at verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Where does the sower sow the word? Let's be sure. Look at verse 15. And these are they which fell by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have what? When they have what? So when the seed is sown where? Where you hear. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word which was sown where? In their hearts. So an average farmer sows seed on the plant, on the floor. God is the sower, oh gracious Father. God is the sower. Who sows the seed of his word in the hearts of men? So when you now see Paul now say, God who giveth seed to the sower, you might not go to money. That the biblical way of making money is not even by miracles. It's by working. That's the biblical way. How together? So, I'll close here. God is that sower that sows the seed of his son to reap the mighty harvest. So, go to Genesis 1, verse 26. Remember, we've explained heaven and earth, saints? Remember that teaching? We've explained those teachings, heaven and earth. And we said heaven speaks about God's activity. Is that true? Yeah? And we said heaven is not what you call the skies. Yeah, and we said God is not in disguise. Yeah, because the earth is spherical. Yeah, so if your God is here, Australia, their God is where you're saying Satan don't fall for God. That don't match him enough. Say, I give myself to labor. Because God counts on me. Hallelujah. So, verse 27 now says, and God created man in his image. Who is the image there? Who is the image there? Have we explained that is Christ? Male and female created he them. So, man and woman to be found in Christ. Now, look at verse 28 carefully. And God blessed them. The word there, blessed, is the word barak, and it means to welcome in or congratulate. Don't worry, we'll look at it on Wednesday. Now, the word there, blessed, means to welcome into. Are we together? So, when Melchizedek blessed Abraham, no, Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 that Abraham was wealthy in cattle and in gold. Are we together? So, Abraham met Melchizedek in verse 14, chapter 14, after going for a war. Are we together? On his way back from the war, what did he do? He gave a tenth to Melchizedek of the things he stole. Are we here? The kingdoms that Abraham fought and the kings he won, their property is property. So he stole from them and took a tenth of it and gave Melchizedek. Bible now says Melchizedek blessed him. The blessing cannot be material. Are we together? Are we together? Abraham was very wealthy before he gave the tenth. Nobody gets blessed by giving tithes. It's bobo. It's bobo. We give as an end. We give because, you know, we have the riches of liberality in us. When we give, what you give, what's excitement is not because somebody calls you the next morning to give you back how much times then. No. What you give is excitement is the fact that you're in obedience to God's instruction. That you gave and met the need of other saints. But now says, God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. What to be too fruitful mean? It doesn't mean to go and be burning children. Be fruitful and multiply. And someone was saying something. He said, you know, as Christians, you know, let's be giving birth to plenty children. So that we'll overtake the kingdom of the Islamic. Have you noticed in Islam, they give birth to like 99 children. And they start in the shrine, in the mosque. Let us be giving birth to children. Simple question. You that they give birth to you, how many years did it take you before you went to church willingly? Imagine your parents had 10 of you. Where will the church, where will the Christian faith be today? The Bible says we multiply. Because all multiply, remember, when you are born into a Christian family doesn't make you a believer. Yeah? So, he says, be fruitful and multiply. That word there will be to what? Make replenish. How are we going to be fruitful? When the male and female in the image of God go out to the streets and preach the gospel. So, bringing more people is the multiplicity. Bringing more people is the fruitfulness. Are we together? Are we together? Let's end in Matthew 9:37. Matthew 9:37. Let's read this together. From here, we'll end in Matthew 28. This semi-final. Matthew 9:37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Look at verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What is God's harvest? When the multiplicity of souls come into the image of God. When the multiplicity of souls are found as those who yield forth fruit after his kind. Matthew 28 now says, all authority is given unto me. What did Jesus say? In where? Heaven and earth. What is he saying? I'm the authority of the beginning. Are we here? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Jesus now says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. So he's saying, I am he who has the authority of the beginning. That means, I am he who has the authority of the seed. That's what he said next is what? Go into the world and preach the gospel. Make people students. What does that mean? Be fruitful and what? Multiply. Are we here? Are we here? I'll close here. So, the seed of God is God himself who came in the flesh to die as a man, to redeem man from what? Darkness. So a man who believes the gospel has come into the harvest. Hallelujah. A man who believes the gospel has come into the harvest, God's harvest. So God's plan is for multitudes. That's why the Spirit of God did not move over a portion of the earth, moved over the earth. God's plan is that all men be saved. That's why Habakkuk now tells you, though the vision may tarry, wait for him. He will surely come to pass. Are we together? He now says in verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory, as the waters covers the sea. God's plan is to see people. That's why as saints, you cannot afford to be a small-minded person. When it comes to the things of God, you must think big. Say, I think big. Say, my father thinks big. Say, God will use me to bring men into his mighty light. And the light of the glorious gospel will flood the earth through my lips. Say, I go. Say, I go. Jesus says, go. Yeah? Jesus says, go. That's an instruction. Go in obedience. Go in obedience. Go in obedience. In doing that, you are fulfilling God's will. Are we together? In doing that, you are fulfilling God's will. Glory to God. So, let me ask you a question. Do we have more saved than unsaved on earth today? Do we have more saved than unsaved on earth today? That means there is work to be done. Far. Just know that it's still far. Say the journey is far. That's why it is a relay, not a sprint. Why do we give ourselves to these things in God's palace? Because when you get on the street, you will have people ask you questions. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost.